Welcome to Peds in a Podcast, where our team of specialists shares with you tips on all things health and development for your little ones. My name is Leanne Tran, and I'm one of the psychologists here at Peds in a Pod. School is a tricky place to be when everything feels like a challenge. Today, Dr. Ryan Eisman is back to talk about how to support kids who don't fit the traditional mold. I hope you find it an interesting conversation. Thanks for being here again today, Ryan.
You're welcome, Leanne.
So today we're talking about, we just had somebody run past the door here, and I was just about to say, introduce the topic, which was kids who don't fit the mold and find it difficult to be at school. And, maybe we've got someone outside the room today who's running around and having a bit of difficulty sitting still. Mm-hmm. So tell me your thoughts on So I guess I'm thinking about it from a school perspective, because school is often a place where we're kind of expected to fit in and follow the mold. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us your thoughts on, when kids don't fit the mold?
Sure. I guess the first thing I'd say, my feeling about school is that if you're fitting in well at school, not meaning to sound like too controversial, but I think you peak too early.
Right.
If you're sort of basing the way that you need to be, is the way that the expectation is that school is going to be. Mm. But it's obviously in the context of someone who's having difficulties at school, whether they be academic problems or learning issues in some way, or social difficulties, or self-regulation problems, or whatever's happening for them. It's obviously really, really challenging. So much of your life as a school-aged child is spent either in the classroom or trying to navigate the social things that are happening in the playground at lunchtime.
Yeah.
And I guess a bit like some of the things we've talked about before, I guess the first thing from my point of view is trying to understand what's going on for this child, and what are the factors involved that are making it hard for them to fit in. And like we were saying last time, we're all wired differently. We all have different thoughts and feelings about what's happening to us, relative strengths and challenges.
Yep.
And I guess I always encourage families to remember that there's no one right or proper way to be, but it's about trying to work out how you find where you fit.
Yeah.
And that's trying to help children work out who they are, which is an ongoing process which probably doesn't really ever end all the way through your life, but what you want out of what you're doing and how to actually feel okay about what's happening for you. And so that, I guess, is partly managing expectation so that you're not expecting too much from someone, and also minimizing unhelpful comparison. So often there's a tendency to look, my child's doing this, but this person's doing this. Why isn't my child like that? Or even within a family. So, my sister can do this and my brother can do that. Why can't I do those things? And trying to sort of help people come to, I guess, a sense of acceptance that not everybody is the same. I guess more specifically in terms of the role of a pediatrician in that, it's trying to understand what's going on and is there something there that could be supported by different sorts of intervention, whether that be some sort of skill building activity, whether that be medication sometimes, but also advocating on behalf of the child to the school in terms of what the particular situation is as you see it and how they may support it. Not ever to be telling teachers or schools how to do what they do, because I'm not a teacher, I'm a pediatrician, and so they may have very different takes. And I guess the school's perspective is that they're trying to manage a large group of people with a curriculum that's got a lot of pressure in terms of what's asked of kids from a very young age. It's again trying to find a way to navigate that. And it's not a simple, easy answer, I don't think, but it is about sort of saying, well, how do we give the child the best opportunity to thrive
in
the context that they find themselves in, and remembering that the development is something that unfolds over time and people do it in their own pace, in their own way, and some really weird things happen in human development. You go from being a little tiny baby that can do very little other than suck and cry and interesting things with the gastrointestinal tract, and across the first year of life, you go from that that sort of small, relatively helpless object in some ways through to a little being that can walk. And then as you get bigger, you start to have social understanding of where you're fitting in the world. And these processes occur obviously in the context of the having lots of stimulation from the environment, but they happen in spite of anything that we do sometimes. Yeah. And so sometimes actually, again, it trying to, you know, fix something too intently can actually be problematic, I think.
Yeah. So when you mentioned before about school, I was thinking that's another place where we might, you know, you mentioned the unhelpful comparison within families or also probably within the classrooms as well, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Where all the kids are the same age, but you're right that the development happens, you know, sometimes it follows a different path than mm-hmm. typical. Sometimes yep. it's a slower pace than typical.
Yeah.
And so some kids will get there. Some kids might develop differently.
Mm.
But it does kind of take time and each person follows their own course.
And when you think about adults, we're not all the same. So we all do different things. And there are some people who gravitate to aeronautical engineering. There are some people who want to be chefs. There are other people that do, horse husbandry or something. But so there's not one way to be at all in the world. And it's about finding how you want to be, what you want to be, and then setting some goals in terms of where you want to go, I suppose, is probably the important thing. But also with acknowledgement that they have to be realistic goals. You can't expect someone to be really good at something if they're not. But the way you get better at anything, I think as I said last time, is about meeting you where you are and then gradually building skills over time.
Yeah.
And that applies to practical things like learning to tie shoelaces all the way through to learning mathematics at high school, I suppose.
Yeah, that's right. I think one of the parts that's tricky about school is that, you know, if you think about, I often think about how behaviour is generally can be improved, or problematic behaviour can be reduced when kids have choice and control.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that doesn't quite fit with school.
No,
very often.
That's true. And I suppose, the only thing I would add to that is you want choice with age-appropriate boundaries, so you're not expecting the three-year-old to be in control of how we're having dinner.
No.
But at the same time, it's choice within the boundaries that you set up. So, another thing I often say is, well, so say you need a child to wear socks.
Yes.
You give them the choice of being able to say, do you want to wear the green ones or the blue ones, but you're wearing the socks. So, obviously, that's different if you're a 16-year-old. So I agree. So choice can be important, but it is hard, and I feel for the classroom context where you're trying to manage 25, 30 kids with one teacher trying to deliver a curriculum, it's very tricky.
Yeah. So do you have any thoughts or, ways to think about how kids can find their own path within that school system? Or do you see it as more something that maybe they kind of go through school but they also do things outside of school that helps them find their way?
So I think it's a bit of both. So I think it is important to approach school positively.
Mm.
So to be saying, well, what do I like to do? I mean, again, this is probably more for older kids than really young ones.
Yeah.
So to take a step back, it's probably in the younger years it's about consolidating basic skills. So
yes.
learning to read, learning to write, accepting that if those things are harder to do, it may take you longer to achieve them.
Yeah.
And if you are finding those challenges there in terms of those basic school-based activities, then often it will be about finding other ways to develop a sense of positivity and meaning, and then using that energy to take on the challenge of the harder things.
Yeah.
So if you're really good at sporting activities or something, actually enjoying that, and then you're starting from a more positive, happier place when you go into the environment that's more difficult.
Yeah.
Then as you get older, I often talk to older kids and their families about the importance of values. So actually thinking about, well, how do you want to be in the world? What do you want to stand for? And is what you're doing, is it moving you closer to the way you want to be, or is it pushing you further away from that sort of way of being? And then setting goals in order to try and move you closer to the value, which may be that if you're not all that good at maths, you have to spend more time doing that, acknowledging that maths may never be your thing, but you still want to be saying, I've done the best that I can.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's answering your question, but
it does, because I think it puts it into context too of what your goals are and what you want to work towards. And so for the younger kids too, it could be something that they you're kind of talking about for kids to see themselves within the context of somebody who has strengths and weaknesses. I don't say weaknesses to kids. No, I say things that are hard.
Things that are harder, things that are easier.
And so then having the things that you identify as strengths or strong points helps you kind of, deal more easily with the things that are hard. Or having things that you enjoy as well, I think, as kids, like something to look forward to that you do on the weekend helps you get through those performance arts lessons. Yeah.
And so they're not keen on them, hey? But no, but the they have that, using those really, really positive things as a way to boost your sense of self-efficacy and your sense of self-esteem, self-worth about what you're actually doing. And then at least then if the other things are harder, at least you have something that makes you feel better on the way through.
Yeah. But then it sounds like when the kids are older, you're having conversations about more, their values and what kind of person they would like to be, which is really separate to what you're good at and what you're not good at. It's about,
that's true.
What your values are and maybe also what the goals are, so that you can be a bit more strategic about how you think about whether you're good at maths or not.
That's the other thing that I often will talk about in terms of if you're having trouble at school, life doesn't finish in year 12. Mm. So there are lots of different paths that people can take once they've finished the process of schooling. Like there's the freeway that just goes straight ahead, but then there's the country road, if you like, that takes you the back route, which sometimes can be more interesting.
Yeah, that's a really good analogy, I think.
Maybe a little bit hokey for some 14-year-olds, but anyway. No, but.
Well, mate, I mean, you probably need to link it to a gaming reference.
Possibly. I actually talk about gamification a little bit too, actually, like just the idea of, treating your math class like a computer game.
Yeah, tell me more about that. It's really interesting.
The algebra problems are, the level you have to get through to beat the boss, and you gamify it, you set little goals, little targets to reach. So I've done 3 problems in the last 20 minutes. Let's see if in the next 20 minutes I can do 4. So that idea of setting little goals and then rewarding yourself for doing them, I suppose.
Yeah, but that's great. I do a similar thing with kids sometimes too, about, because making it a game makes it a bit more fun, right? So it might be like homework bingo or whatever. So you set it out, all the tasks you've got to do, and you do them in order, and then you have a little packet of M&Ms or whatever.
Yeah. And sometimes it's well received. Sometimes there's some eye rolling that happens. Yeah. But,
well, I'm working with a younger cohort that haven't so much strengthened the eye rolling yet. But that's an interesting way to look at it, ways that you can make it more fun, I think.
So, I mean, that sort of ties into thinking about what motivates you to do anything. And partly it's just you do what you've always done because of the way that our brains work. So we're always sort of pattern matching. So have I seen something similar to this before in this context? Is this something that I'm familiar with? If so, your brain tends to just engage in automatic program that you go through the motions of. And so sometimes it's about trying to mix that up or making something novel or different in some way or more rewarding and looking at ways to try and make that happen in the particular context.
Yeah, there's a lot of strong kind of behavioural psychology principles in what you're talking about.
At least I'm internally consistent there.
Because it's really about, rewarding the new things we pay attention to more, but also rewarding things makes them, it strengthens that likelihood that we're going to do them again. Are there, you mentioned before some parts about values in kind of thinking about who you want to be and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I've heard you talk too about how values kind of shape the parenting and behaviour. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a bit more about that, or what you usually say to families?
Well, I guess I say that I can't tell you what your values are. Mm. They're things that you've chosen yourself, but it can help make it easier if you have a sense of a why of what you're trying to do. It can make it a lot easier to do things that are in accordance with how you feel. And if you have that congruence between what you want to be doing and how you feel about what you're doing, it makes it a lot easier to actually do it.
Yes.
And so, you know, it's about trying to do things that will move you closer to be living in such a way that's in accordance with what you want to have happen.
Mm.
I mean, I never sort of say, I often will give sort of examples. So say you decide that my value is I want to be open and honest and kind with my kids,
yeah.
And you ask yourself, well, is the way I'm behaving, is that living in accordance with that value? And if it is, then yes, you keep doing what you're doing. If it's not, and you're saying, well, actually what I'm doing is I'm being really, really harsh and unforgiving, and how do I shift myself in such a way to be moving closer to be in accordance with that value? The other thing about values, I think you never actually achieve them. So they're not like a goal. So a goal, you tick off the list and say, yes, that's done. Excellent. What's the next thing? A value is perpetually there. So it's a way of living your life, a guiding principle, if you like.
Yeah, that made me think before how you were mentioning about the path, that sometimes there's the highway, sometimes there's the narrow road, and sometimes I think the values are more like the guide or where you're trying to get with whichever path you take. Mm. And so sometimes it takes a bit of strength to stick to what you think is right in terms of your path. And that's when we're talking about kids who don't fit the mold.
Yeah.
It takes a bit of strength to do it their way. And I guess that's
something I find myself saying a lot is there's no one right way to approach any of these things.
Mm.
So, you know, similarly with all of these problems that we're sort of talking about, there's not an answer.
Yeah.
But there's a sense of, is what you're doing serving you in the sense it's making your life better? Is it actually helping you feel okay or good about the way things are happening, or is it actually detracting from that in some way?
Yeah.
But it's tricky, because sometimes it'd be nice to just give an answer, to have a magic wand to wave, to say, you know, this is the solution. But I don't think that's necessarily helpful or useful sometimes.
Yeah, sure. And like you said before, there, each person's got to kind of go with their own values and what's, you know, in accordance with that.
Yeah.
You mentioned at the start that you use a few kind of one-liners with family sometimes. Do you have any that would fit with
Well, I mean, I always say, you know, there's at the moment 7.9 billion ways to be in the world. So there's not one single way to be human, and to be being who you are is uniquely you.
Yeah.
I also say things like, in my opinion, developmentally, most children are ready to start formal schooling at around the age of 8.
Okay.
And we start them when they're 5 years old and wonder why they're finding it tricky.
Yeah.
And obviously you have to acknowledge that that's the system that we live in, so you can delay entry to a point, but at some point you do actually have to go to school. And I'm not saying that's necessarily bad or anything. It's more just that if you have a child who, for whatever reason, is struggling, it's important to remember that what you do at the age of 5 will be quite different to what you do at the age of 15. And so you have to give all these processes time to unfold. Yeah. So I sort of say that the development is an unfolding, unfurling kind of process that happens almost sometimes in spite of anything that we do to try and make something happen. So
So to kind of, I'm trying to think the right word to say it, not relax about it a little, but just give kids time to get there in their own way.
Which is not to say you don't sort of try and guide and support them, but you can't force it.
I guess that's what I meant, without the pressure or the expectation. So you can guide and support and help kids develop the skills they need, but, be accepting of the fact that they might not be there yet, but they'll get there eventually.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Thanks so much for talking with me again today.
You're welcome. I hope it's helpful.
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks for listening to PEDS in a Podcast. If you found listening to us useful, we have plenty of resources on our website, including blogs, articles, and videos. If there's a topic not covered that you'd love to hear about, you can get in touch with us on our website. Visit us at pedsinapod.com.au.